Episode 27 of Nick and Matt's Infinite Shit List. This is Matt.
I'm Nick. I'm actually here.
He's actually here. Now, can you prove yourself to be Nick to the listeners? Because you could just be a chameleon. You could be a voice character actor.
Do I have a definitive voice tone? I don't know.
Say something racist.
No. Not yet. Okay. I will later.
All right. Well, verdict's out. Maybe
it's
Nick.
I'm sure something will happen.
Maybe it's Nick. Maybe it's not. We'll just stay tuned. We'll find out. All right. Welcome back to the podcast. It's been a while since we've done an episode because that is the underlying theme of this podcast.
not doing this regularly.
Not doing it. We don't do the podcast more than we do it because we don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be called sellouts. You
well,
know?
We don't want to overkill everybody.
Exactly.
We don't want to take all the credit away from everyone else doing podcasts because if we did one regularly...
We'd just be another podcast.
We'd be a behemoth.
Yeah.
We'd be a media giant. And soon enough, like, the Huffington Post would buy us or something like that, and we'd be nothing.
We'd have money. It would be awful, you know? Yeah. Essentially, we're the Daniel Day-Lewis of podcasts.
Yeah. You know? We get really into character once every, like, so often, and then we go cobble shoes in Italy in
exactly.
between.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I've actually been living in a yurt that I built in my backyard just to prepare for this particular episode.
Yeah?
This will be very yurt-centric, just so you know.
All right. the high plateau.
Yes. So, Nick, what are we drinking today?
I got us a six-pack of a fine beer that made Milwaukee famous. Schlitz.
Schlitz, yes. So you could say that today's episode will be truly Schlitz and Giggles.
Oh.
As long as we have some Giggles.
That was...
By Giggles, I mean Whippets. I've got those.
Oh, okay.
So there we go. We'll be doing Schlitz and Whippets.
Let's do Whippets and...
Slippets, as we call them.
Yeah. Can we find out what drugs killed Whitney Houston so we can do those too?
Well, I know. Well, I was going, you know, I guess we should be more timely with that. With the whole Whippets thing, I was thinking more Demi Moore. We're going to party like Demi Moore. Because Demi,
we're going to have to be put into a psychiatric ward after this episode.
Yeah, that's the year.
The Whippets went crazy. We go crazy on the Whippets.
Well, you know, when you chase the Whippets with Schlitz, that's where things start to happen.
Is there a more lame thing to have to be fucking put away for than Whippets?
Like, that's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I gotta say. Yeah. What's worse? That's pretty... I don't know what would be worse than Whippets.
Robitussin?
Yeah, well...
I mean, like...
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, she got all hopped up on the Tussin, and they had to fucking...
All the H-Town rappers used to drink cough syrup.
Oh, the scissor, yeah.
Yeah, with Cody. So that's... Like, they gave some cred.
That's true. Whippets are...
We get Lil Wayne addicted to Whippets. Then they'll bring the cred back.
That's like the cheapest middle school high, Whippets, right there.
Either that or, like, you know, destroying an eraser and then snorting the eraser dust. That's straight up there with that.
Someone did that?
You didn't used to do that?
No.
Dude, fuck you up.
You snorted eraser?
Yeah.
It's just rubber.
Yeah.
That sounds really bad for your lungs.
Oh, probably, yeah. Yeah. Excellent. So, Nick, you have been living abroad.
Yes, abroad.
And that is...
the far-off land of Fort Wayne, Indiana.
That's true. Still in your parents' basement?
Yeah. It is sort of like a foreign country in Fort Wayne.
How so?
Well, there's a whole bunch of Burmese people there.
Oh, we talked about this last time. Have you fucked any of them yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
They're fucking scary, man. Their community is very violent.
Ah.
Yeah.
I feel the racist comment coming on.
It's a big thing. There's like a serious like Burmese gang.
All right.
In Fort Wayne, and you don't fuck with them.
So, has anyone from the Burmese gang tried to steal your prize, El Camino?
No.
Or Gran Torino? I'm sorry, it wasn't El Camino. It was Gran Torino.
Yeah, I'm Clint Eastwood, yeah. And
it's halftime in America.
These
buddy.
Goddamn foreigners keep trying to steal my car. No, I don't see them. They're okay. Very isolated.
Okay. But so we talked about that there is a large Burmese population, but we've kind of like we'll just get right into it. Well, it is the most popular segment of the podcast.
So says you. I don't know.
Yeah. And
I'm just gonna cut you off here. I haven't gotten laid by anybody who's not white.
Who's not white, but you have gotten laid by a white person.
Yes.
Okay. Not counting yourself.
Not counting myself.
Okay. And so multiple white people or just one white person?
I'm trying to remember since last we spoke. I think probably just one.
Just one. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And how white are they? We talked about this. There's shades of white too. There's like
that's true.
Translucent white. There's
not translucent.
Trailer park white.
Kind of similar to my shade of white. Actually.
Okay. Asshole white.
Which is asshole white. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was racist asshole white.
It was yourself, wasn't it?
Yes.
Now, did you meet her at your anti-Burmese meeting?
Yeah, you know, you know about those, huh?
I
tried to keep that under wraps. Kind of like,
you should have invited me on Facebook.
People from the KKK try to like, they wear the hoods so that nobody knows that they're in the KKK.
So what is your anti-Burmese group wear?
Snuggies.
Snuggies. Okay. Yeah, because that's distracting. That'll distract you from identification.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You just become a random face behind like a fleece robe.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this.
Nowhere. It sounds like.
Yeah.
All right. So you've not filled in a new color on the sexual rainbow, but you've darkened in, if that's possible, the white one. You filled that in with another.
Yeah.
You've widened that stripe of the rainbow.
Yeah. It's very wide. It's a very wide stripe of the rainbow.
Big girl. Is that what you're saying?
No. It's a high percentage of the rainbow.
Oh. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
But also a big girl.
Yes. Yeah. Sure. Why not?
Oh, tell me about this young lady who's captured your heart. But
I'd rather not go into details to jeopardize further.
Does she know about your podcast career?
I mean, she's on social media. She'll fucking see it somehow if it's up there.
Okay. All right. Well, welcome, Miss. Welcome to the podcast. Whatever your name may be.
I won't divulge such information.
Are you actually dating, or just a hooking up thing?
No dating.
How many times have you had sex?
Three.
Three times, okay. Yeah. And it's been like 6 months since I've seen you.
No, it hasn't been that long. Didn't we do one of these in like December?
Yeah, we did. So it was a couple months ago. So
yeah, it's one of the, because I'm in and out a lot.
You are. Three times, apparently.
Yes. That's all it takes.
There it is.
Kaboom.
Kaboom. I don't know what that means.
That's the noise I make when I ejaculate.
Oh, okay.
I say kaboom.
When you ejaculate purple cleaning liquid into her, kaboom!
Didn't we come up with some thing that I was supposed to yell during ejaculation in one of the episodes?
Oh, wasn't it something like, I think it was just a racial epithet, wasn't it?
I don't think it was. It might have been, though.
No, I'm just trying to stick with your character here. I don't know, if anybody out there has the internet and access to our previous episodes, which everyone does, because they're all up live and streaming at nickandmatt.podomatic.com.
Yeah.
Listen to the old episodes, find out what we're talking about, and email us, because we don't have the time to do that. But you do, good listeners.
Yeah, maybe you actually remember.
What was Nick supposed to yell out during climax?
I'm pretty sure there was a thing.
Oh, I think it was like, sorry.
I don't think it was that.
Or time.
30 seconds.
30 seconds. All right. Damn. There you go. But yeah, if you find it, please email us at nickandmatt@gmail.com, nickandmatt@gmail.com. Perhaps this would be a good listener challenge for our good friend Myron McVeigh and his lovely wife, Laura. I ran into them out in Iowa. Listen to us out there. Iowa, they love the podcast. They listen to it all the time on drives, and I apologize. I'm sorry to you guys that you have to listen to this.
Yeah, that's the best you can do with your time.
They live in Iowa.
That's true.
So I'm going to say.
Yeah.
But we might sponsor a visit from them, and maybe we'll have them on the podcast, because they've talked about taking a trip into Bloomington just to visit the places we talk about. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah, because I was in Iowa last Saturday doing a show.
That's how boring Iowa is.
Well, but they've also got connections to the Murder by Death kids and everybody else here.
Yeah.
And so, but they were like, yeah, I kind of want to see with this Atlas and this Bishop. And I'm like, yeah, man, come on in. Yeah.
Sure.
We'll have them on the podcast. They're funny. Yeah. They're funny people.
All right.
We'll get him drunk. That's not really so much a challenge. It is an invitation. So
there you go. Come drink with us.
Yeah.
And
be kind of famous.
Don't get upset at my sexual advances.
Yes, exactly. Myron is a good looking man. So we'll have to. Yeah. All right. So very good. So I like this. It's a new direction for the podcast. Yeah.
Get people to drive from far away.
Exactly. Yeah.
We've run out of local guests, so we have to import.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. All right. So what have you been doing? So you've had sex three times. That was like probably 3 or 4 minutes of your 3 months in Fort Wayne.
Yeah.
What else have you been doing while you're up there?
Well, I've been kind of in and out of town a lot. I come down here on occasion. We've missed doing this a couple times in a row.
It's true.
Because you had comedy or whatever.
Or you got too wasted the night before and couldn't do the podcast.
That happened once, yeah.
That did happen, yeah.
Yeah, done some shows with the Murder by Death Kids. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, hang out at my parents' house, be broke, and on the weekends, go get drunk with our friends Gray Blue and Jay Bush.
All right.
Those sound like made-up names, by the way, when you say them next to each other. Gray Blue and Jay Bush.
They
don't sound like real people.
Gray Blue sounds like a comic book character.
Yeah.
You know, they always give all their characters, even like, you know, their real name, you know.
Yeah, that's always some bullshit.
It's like John Henry Steele, you know, things like that. Get it? It's like John Henry, and then also Steele. And he's a welder, you know. Maybe we should invite them to be on the podcast.
Maybe yeah. I should.
And we'll ask for the birth certificates, make sure that's really their names. Yes.
Last night we talked about having me doing a podcast in Fort Wayne with them.
Yeah.
And then we decided that we didn't know that they would be, Jay Bush is too nice.
It's a challenge.
Yeah, like, I would have to carry the show.
As you always do. You are the Regis of this setup right here. You can replace me with any hot blonde.
That's true. Maybe I should.
Yeah,
maybe I should.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck Jay Bush and Gray Blue. I need to find a hot blonde.
Jay Bush is kind of blonde-ish.
He is kind of blonde-ish.
Yeah.
I'll use his girlfriend. His girlfriend's a hot blonde.
Yeah. Let's take that sentence out of context.
I'll use his girlfriend.
She's a hot blonde. So, all right. So let me know how the fight with Jay Bush goes. My money's on Jay.
Probably. Yeah, I think Jay could take me.
Yeah, probably. All right. Kind of going internally here. We just should kind of kick it back out to the world events. You haven't been doing shit, obviously. Yeah. So you've been keeping abreast of all the happenings in pop culture, probably, right?
A little bit. I've been, you know, as much as anybody else.
Been getting down to that Skrillex.
Linsanity.
Linsanity? I have stage 3 lymphoma.
Yeah,
it's pretty bad.
I saw that tweet today.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you. I was proud of that one.
Yeah.
I want to take this cutesy thing and make it really depressing.
Yeah. I like how immediately the media tried to start comparing him to Tim Tebow.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was just like, oh, he's like Tim Tebow.
Because they're both uber Christian is why.
Yeah. They're just like, oh, some Christians doing well. Good.
Hey, good for them.
Same thing, right?
Hey, but you know, like, I don't know. Apparently we're having this war on Christianity is what Fox News keeps saying. But these guys seem to be doing quite well.
Yeah, they are doing well.
Yeah.
I mean, one gets to be a starting quarterback in the NFL despite having no talent at doing so.
You got to admit that he can throw the ball really far without having ever learned how to throw a football. Like, it is the ugliest fucking it's like how I throw it. The ball goes sideways most of the time.
It does go far.
But it does go really far.
That's the one thing that he has going for him is he can throw a deep ball.
Yeah.
If he has to throw like a 10-yard out, it just hits somebody in the feet. Or it goes way over their head. He's not so much with the accuracy, but if he can heave it downfield and some dude can run underneath it, then it's fine.
Yeah. This might be more of a question for this new white girl, but you've been known to throw the deep ball?
How does that work?
It's where you put your testicle deeply inside of her vagina.
Oh, okay.
You got like saggy ball sack, right? You got like something to work with?
My balls don't hang really low.
Oh, really?
They keep close.
They're high hanging. They're not low hanging fruit. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I guess I don't know, my body temperature or whatever it is, like they stay in.
All right, that's good.
Yeah,
it's good for you, young man.
Compact.
Young man, a compact. They're ready for travel.
Exactly.
All right, I don't know why I went there with that.
oh man, I'm trying to remember. Me and actually Melissa Banks one time were watching something on the History Channel years ago, and it was some meteor reference, and we decided that it sounded like a sexual move.
Right.
And we decided it was to shove both test like a testicle in the butthole.
So one in the butthole and one in the vag?
Yeah.
Okay. So you gotta have like that's like those fucking clacker balls. Like you gotta have that sort of.
And we decided that I mean how are you gonna get a ball into a testicle as well? You're gonna need some sort of device.
Wait, a ball into a testicle?
Or I mean,
that's extreme docking. That is the most extreme docking I've ever heard.
A testicle into an asshole.
Oh well, it depends on the asshole.
It does, but yeah. But
gotta work at it.
God, I wish I could remember the name, because it was a funny name.
If anybody out there is Melissa Banks and can remember, please email us the name of the sexual move
that I'm describing,
All right. Very good, okay.
Oh, backdoor asteroid.
Backdoor asteroid?
That's what it was. It was backdoor asteroid. We like heard that on TV, like, what are they talking about? That sounds like a thing.
Are you sure that this was the Science Channel that you're watching?
Maybe.
Maybe. All right. The backdoor asteroid. This would be another good thing, is we need to think of other scientific terms that sound like...
Backdoor asteroid. Yeah.
All right.
Sound like a sex move.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. All right. So that's good. We've learned something today. I'm starting to believe that you are Nick. It's coming back to me now.
Yeah. I've proven myself.
Yeah. There you go. All right. So you are back in town for a couple of days. You came in last night to see your friends Asobi Sexy play.
Yes.
And how was that?
It was good. You were there.
I caught a couple of songs, but I mean, just in the general, like, hanging out with them.
Yeah, it was good to see them.
They don't listen to this bullshit, do they? They seem like intelligent people that would not listen to this, even though they know you do it.
They do know I do it. They probably are just like, man, we don't want to hear if he says some shit about us or something.
All right, so say some shit about him then.
They're lovely people.
They are lovely people. They're very nice.
James and Yuki just got engaged.
Oh, that's very nice. Congratulations. A couple months ago, so. Not that they're listening, but...
No. Yeah, so they were telling me I have to come to the wedding.
That's good.
It's not till like next spring, so
right.
And, I got some time.
They'd also been together for a long time.
Yeah, right? Like 10-12 years, something like that.
Very cool.
They're kind of like Adam and Sarah. They were dating, then in a band together for like a decade, and then finally like, might as well get married now.
Yeah, that's a great way to sum up our friend's marriage. It was a shrug of his shoulders, like, fuck it.
Might as well.
Let's get this tax break going, come on.
A lot of people do that, though.
Yeah, which reminds me, it was Valentine's Day.
That's true.
Earlier this week, did you take your white girl out?
No, she doesn't live in Fort Wayne.
Oh, she doesn't. Where does she live at?
I'm not saying.
She live in Bloomington, Indiana?
Nope.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Nope.
Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Sure.
Okay, Grand Rapids. So she doesn't live in Fort Wayne.
No.
And you're not.
That's why it's only happened a couple of times.
Oh, okay. All right. That's good.
No, she might live down here.
She might live down here? I don't know.
Like I said, I'm not gonna. Right. I don't wanna, okay. You know.
Do I know this person?
Maybe.
All right. Okay, now we have a mystery afoot, my friends.
Maybe I'll tell you after we're done with this.
Okay, well, let me just turn this mic off real quick.
Click.
The red light just stays on. That just means that the power is on. It's not recording.
Yeah, I mean, I can see the GarageBand open with the...
It's bouncing down to the MP3 right now. It's not recording anymore.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So the show is only going to be 17 minutes long.
Yeah, I feel like that's a better show.
It probably is.
I agree. all right, so no, you didn't do any Valentine's.
Yeah, my Valentine's Day was drinking beer in my basement and reading the fourth book in the Game of Thrones series.
All right, yeah. So just like when you were 16,
yeah, reading fantasy and drinking beer.
Yeah. What happens in the fourth book? Spoiler alerts, everybody. Spoiler alerts.
I'm only like 200 pages in.
Okay.
So
I haven't read any of those books.
They're like all like 1,000 pages.
Yeah, that's why I haven't read any of those books. Same reason I haven't read any of the Harry Potter books. Just like look at the
I've never read any.
I look at the size of them. I'm like, no fucking way am I going to read that.
The thing is, you start reading those things and you're just like, phew, you're just like plowing through them.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're fun.
Yeah, you know what I do love to read though. I do love to read books from our good friends at Author Solutions.
Oh yeah.
Unfortunately, we don't have any books to give you details. It's an old segment that we used to do.
Yeah, because they fired everybody we know, basically.
And the few that they didn't fire will no longer give us books for fear of being fired.
Probably.
But yeah, no, that's why I just stopped reading. I stopped getting my free Author Solutions books. Yeah.
No more mule hair.
No more po-ho to rich bitch. No more, like, bleach blonde Zulu goddess or whatever she was.
Yeah.
Not Zulu. The Mexican.
The Mayan.
The Mayan, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That she was a high priestess, right?
She was a high priestess reincarnated. Yeah. That's some good stuff. All right, we just kind
of. That episode where you guys did that fucking. That you and Will just giggled like idiots for 45 minutes. That was the entire episode.
It was the best episode ever, really, in a lot of ways. Okay, so what should we talk about then? You're down for a couple of days through the weekend.
Yeah. Did the show last night. Yeah. Had a good time.
Yeah.
It was a pretty solid turnout for...
Yeah, it's a good amount of people there. I was there Bloomington. For a second.
Going to go to our friends Jeremy and Katia.
Would you say that this Mara's. Is the thing that you're going to do this week?
This is the thing that I'm going to do.
Oh, let's talk about the things we're going to do and things we're not going to do.
Yeah. Tomorrow night at Farm Fresh, our friend Jake Belzer's studio, recording studio. So this is there's an art show at a recording studio.
Swack.
With a band. The band's going to... There's a band going to play, too.
Yeah.
Jeremy Brightbill, Mara Batiste. Katia's going to have stuff there, too.
Nice, yeah.
Corey Clements.
Oh, very cool.
As well. And then the girl group, the Velours.
The Velours will play.
So I'm going to do that, and I'll probably see a bunch of friends there, and it'll be fun.
All right.
And then maybe I'll get drunk and hit on girls from the Velours.
Yeah, yeah, that should go great.
they all have boyfriends, I think.
Exactly. I think they all have boyfriends, or they're more fond of, more fond of the non-assholes.
People that aren't me.
People that aren't, what I was trying to say. Yeah. Actually, I think that goes for even the ones with boyfriends.
That's true.
They all fall under that category. Well, that's also my pick for this week as far as what I'm going to be doing as well. Jason and I will be there. But what are you not going to do this week?
Well, unfortunately, because it falls on the same night.
Yes.
The Hoosier Bar and Grill in Ellettsville has a pretty rockin' band playing.
Oh, well, of course.
Their name is Flannel.
Oh, interesting.
I've never seen Flannel.
Is this also your preconceived notion review?
It could be.
Okay, here we go.
At the same time. Flannel, is what they're called. My guess is that this is a 90s alt-rock cover band.
It's a good guess.
I mean, why else would they name themselves Flannel? Other than that, they might just be meth head metal guys.
Yeah, yeah. But I think you're probably missing...
But as far as a Friday night...
They probably are meth head metal guys who are doing meth head metal covers of 90s grunge.
My guess is that a lot of Alice in Chains will be played.
Yeah, as it should be.
Just... Yeah. Alice in Chains, Stone Temple Pilots. What other really, really druggy 90s bands are there? I mean, I guess you can say Nirvana.
Yeah, they'll do one.
He did the heroin.
Yeah, yeah.
What 90s bands didn't do the heroin? That's actually probably a harder question.
That is, yeah. Fine Young Cannibals.
Dishwalla,
probably.
they were Christian, weren't they?
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, I don't know, counting blue cards does sound like a metaphor for, like, you know, a scoring some pills or something. Yeah.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
I feel like the Toadies probably were clean dudes. They probably had some beers.
They probably had some beers, so maybe a little whiskey.
Better than Ezra. Basically, if you think of all the lame 90s bands, they're the ones who didn't do heroin.
Yes. So don't listen to them, everybody. Burn their records. Yeah. They're worth nothing.
Do heroin if you want to get attention.
Thank you. All right, we learned our lesson for the day. That's good.
Yeah, that's my preconceived notion.
Here's another thing. Don't you think Flannel could also be, it could be like a tribute band to like Melissa Etheridge and Ani DeFranco.
In Ellettsville, Hoosier Bar and Grill?
Sure, it's like coming along.
You know, I know they have a big lesbian community in Ellettsville.
Getting progressive, man. They're getting there.
Yeah, I suppose it could be.
It could be. Okay, that's my...
You can't rule it out, I guess.
Yeah, you know, if someone can go to Hoosier Bar and Grill this Friday...
Go check out Flannel tomorrow night. Email us know.
Email us at nickandmatt@gmail.com. Let us know what they were.
Yeah. It would be funny if it was like an all-girl group who did like Melissa Etheridge and Hani covers.
That would be great. Yeah. Well, here's what I'm not doing. It's also... I guess it'll be my preconceived notion review... I will not be going on Friday night again because I will be unable to.
Exactly. It has nothing to do with desire.
No, we both would love to go do these events.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, you just have to prioritize. Friends come first.
Mm-hmm.
But I will not be attending the Jazz Wizards. I'm sorry. It's the...
Jazz Wizards.
No. It's the Lounge Wizards Jazz Duo.
Ooh.
They'll be performing at Malibu Grill. And once again, their name is Lounge Wizards Jazz Duo. Now, here's why I'm not going.
Lounge Wizards.
Is if they were truly wizards.
If they had,
I thought that they really...
Pointy hats and big, long, white beards.
Yes, exactly.
Like, playing upright bass and piano.
If they were playing, like, jazz drums with magic wands instead of drumsticks in full fucking wizard regalia. Then, yes, I would,
purple cloak and, all that.
Then I would be all about it.
Yeah, then they wouldn't be at Malibu. Malibu's too classy for that.
What's classier than a wizard's cloak? Come on!
You've got me there. What is classier?
Exactly, I have no idea. Yeah. So, maybe if anybody can go to Malibu Grill,
take photos
of the wizards.
That's a good name.
Yeah.
Lounge Wizards.
Lounge Wizards. Just put it out there, you know? All right, so that's... We kind of did our preconceived notion reviews. We can do another one later on.
We'll do another one. Yeah.
Maybe we should talk
about...
How are these beers going?
I'm almost done. Are you ready for another one?
We're ready for number two. It'd also be a good time to maybe move into tour stories.
Yeah.
You have done a few short runs with Murder by Death since the last time we've talked.
Yeah, it's been pretty low key in general, but fun. We did have like just this past, I guess it's been about a week. Did some shows like real small markets in the Midwest.
Okay.
And there's two things. Okay, one night we play in Wichita, and this fucking guy who booked the show, it was like a weird offer that came in. Their booking agent Justin was just like, he actually took less money. Like some guy offered like way too much money to play in like a 1700 cap room.
Right.
And they were like, I don't know that you know what you're doing here. Yeah. like I don't think they're worth. I don't think they're worth 1700 tickets in Wichita, Kansas. I'm sorry. And he actually talked him down on the guarantee. Which, like, it was just like, okay, just, you need to be a little more reasonable here, like, because we will feel bad.
Right.
And so Justin had never worked with this guy before. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to advance the show, and I can't get a hold of this dude. I'm emailing, calling, leaving messages, nothing. I asked Justin if he's got, like, a different contact, and he's like, no, I've been trying to get a hold of him because he was supposed to send me a deposit. He hasn't sent the deposit. And so 2 days before the show, we find out that he finally calls Justin and is like, the venue closed down on me and now I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, okay, fuck you.
Yeah.
So now it's like, all right, we've got to find like a last minute show in Wichita. So somehow they got a hold of, did you ever meet the dudes from Ricky Fitz?
Yeah, they used to run that shithole club. Electric Snake or something like that in Wichita, where like the power was like ungrounded, like the entire time you were anywhere in the building, you were at risk of being electrocuted.
They're DIY.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant to say.
They're nice kids, but
DIY. Yeah, no, but it was like
found us a nice bar to play at.
Oh, that's actually good. That's
and
good.
So we show up at this place, and it's like, oh, this is great. You know, like the chick who was running, like the bar manager, was totally cool, and you know, anything you want from the bar, we got the food, you know, everything was good. Showing like 2 days before, this is like 2 days before, and they saw the show out. Like it's like only like 250
but that's great.
Space, and there's 250 people there, and so I go to her to settle at the end of the night. This is where it gets interesting. So we were supposed to get 100% of the door, and that was the deal, and then we were gonna pay the openers and the sound guy out of it. So I knew they had 250. She had counted out 250 wristbands. When they're out of wristbands, they were going to stop letting people in.
Right.
And so I knew they'd run out of wristbands. So I can already do the math in my head exactly how much we should be getting. Yeah. So I go to her and she's like, I went to go get the door and apparently Matt did it already. Matt from Ricky Fitz, he's in one of the opening bands. He helped set up the show. Right. I was like, okay, that's cool. You know.
Yeah.
He's wasted, like really drunk. And I go to him and I'm like, hey man, Jen said you got the door, you know, like you counted everything out. I was like, do you have, you know, money and like totals for me? And he's like, oh man, I gave it to like Adam or no, I didn't give it to Adam. And I'm like, who did you give it to? And he's like, Adam was standing there.
Oh my God.
And he's like, no, I think Sarah has it. I'm pretty sure Sarah has it. And I just like walk up, and like they're drunk. You know, this is like post show. They're drunk. Yeah. And I walk and I'm like, okay, how many people paid? And he's like, I don't know, man. It was enough. You guys got money. You got good money. And I'm like, how much money? Yeah. And then he tells me a figure and I'm like, that doesn't really sound right if there was this many people that paid.
Yeah.
And then he was like, no, maybe it was this much. And then he told me three different money amounts.
Yeah. I'm like, you're making me like get like fucking angry / stressed out. I haven't tour managed in years, but I'm just like, oh man. And I'll editorialize because I don't really know those guys. And that's why nobody's ever heard of Ricky Fitz and they never went anywhere or did anything.
Exactly.
It's because you handle your business like that. Then
so I go to Sarah. I'm like, wait here. I need to go find out what she has. So I go to Sarah and I can see, she's like talking to someone and I can just see the pocket of her jacket. There's like all this cash just like stuffed into it. And I'm like, Sarah, I need to get that. And she's just like, what? what happened? And she's like, I'm like interrupting her conversation kind of rudely, but like, I need to get the money. Like, I'm like, I need to get that. I need to count it. Like, this is fucked up. So I finally just reach in and grab it. Like, she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, no, trust, I need this now. Like, and he had attempted to use paper clips and put it in like $500 like bundles. So I undo one and count it, and it's like 460. I'm like, oh shit. So, like, I count it out, and it's not any of the three totals that he had told me. And it's about $500 short of what it should be.
Right.
So I go back to him, and I'm like, okay, I need to know how many people paid.
Right.
Like, this is... I know there was 250 wristbands. I'm sure, like, there was some people who didn't, you know, didn't pay. Like, you guys are in the band, you have wristbands, you know, like, whatever.
Exactly.
I was like, and he's just like, dude, I have no idea. And I'm like... That's not good. Like, I'm supposed to report all this. Like, like tomorrow, Adam's going to ask me, like, for all the figures. I'm going to have to send them to Justin. Like, So I'm like, well, how much did you pay the opening bands?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, I just gave my money to Jen because she booked the show here and she lost money on a show I did. So I just gave it to her. And I was like, well, how much was it? And he was like, I don't know.
Oh, my
I was
God.
Like, oh, Jesus, man. So I'm like, go to her. I'm like, how much money did he give you? She's like, $200. And I was like, okay, that's like...
Yeah.
They were like the support band. They set up the show.
Right, right. That's totally fine.
That's a
totally
fair amount. Yeah. I'm like, okay, how much... Then I go back to him. How much did you give? There was two other bands whose show we hijacked that were already booked to play there. Right. And they just played early and we played after.
Yeah.
So I was like, how much did they get? And he was like, I think I gave him 100 each. And I'm thinking like... Okay, it's too much, but like,
yeah,
fine.
But also, it's their night, and it's not that big a deal if you guys got money like that coming in. It's
so it all ended up being like when he told me all these numbers, I could figure that 190 people paid.
Yeah,
like that was like, and I was just like, that's a lot of people that got in for free.
Yeah,
and I sort of was like at that point, I was like, I'm just gonna leave this alone now.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
There's nothing I can
do. You just have to close the case.
Yeah, it's like. I can't just go around and be like, all right, who'd you let in for free? Them, and them, and them, and them, and them. They need to fucking pay money. Like, but we didn't put a single person on the guest list for that show. Apparently, they let 60 people in.
Well, but I mean, if you count out 250 and then everybody in the bands all got wristbands and they're four bands.
Yeah.
You know, there's like at least...
There's like 25.
There's at least 25 wristbands gone right there.
Except none of us got wristbands.
Oh, nice. So, all right, never mind then.
So there was that... Then we drive an hour and a half after that show.
Yeah.
One thing about Wichita, it was like every hot girl at Wichita was at that show. So like super frustrating because it's like, oh, I got to drive an hour and a half. Yeah. Fuck, boy, I can't hit on any girls. Drive an hour and a half. Then we have an 8-hour drive the next day to Carbondale, Illinois, another fucking podunk little town, and the show was fucking bananas.
Yeah.
And we were going.
Carbondale's not that small, actually.
25,000 people. We looked it up.
Really?
Yeah.
But it has like a university there, something like extension of the Illinois College.
I looked up Southern Illinois, which is there, 8,000 students.
Huh, all right.
Okay. Yeah, so not a lot, but like 400 people came.
Yeah, that's good.
And we were going to drive 4 hours back to Bloomington after the show. And Dagan was supposed to stay sober to help me drive. He had like said, you know, whatever, I'll stay sober. You can go for a couple hours. If you get tired, you know, I can... Take over or whatever.
Yeah, I've heard that one before.
Yeah. So I'm just like, okay, cool. I mean, up until the show, like, he's drinking beer or whatever. Yeah. And I'm drinking beer. Like, I always drink until, they start and then I stop drinking. And then the fucking crowd is, like, just wild. And there's just shot. I watch shot after shot get brought to stage. And I start thinking, like, I'm driving this alone tonight. Yeah. Like, and by the end of the show, they are all... destroyed. And even some girl was bringing me shots at the fucking merch table being like, you're my boyfriend tonight, and like putting a shot down and like kissing me on the mouth and then like turning and wandering away. And I was like, well, I could easily sleep with this girl tonight, but I have to drive for 4 hours back to Bloomington.
Yeah.
Yay.
It's great to be the responsible one.
Exactly.
My favorite was when I was managing Langhorne Slim. And we have to do, like, a lot of overnight drives sometimes just because their schedule, like, they were kind of, like, moving up quickly but not really making a lot of money, but they were getting a lot of opportunities a lot at that period and stuff. And so it was, like, I think it was when we were doing all the festivals during the summer, and, like, they were on a ton of festivals. And so we just had to fucking do these long-ass drives overnight. Fucking Paul, he would help me drive, meaning that he would sit in the shotgun and drink, and he's already a little drunk. Before, he'd already be a little bit drunk, but he'd just get wasted during the overnight drive and, like, keep me company. Yeah. I'm like, oh.
I always love that yeah, that idea. That, like, oh, I'll sit up front and talk to you, so you stay awake, and it's always, they're always drunk, and they're always just, like, babbling, and you're like, just want to be like, shut the fuck up so I can just, like, listen to this
radio.
Music.
Yeah, exactly. Like, listen to talk radio or something. Like yeah.
It's
like,
you are not interesting right now.
Exactly, just blurred babbling, you know, like, oh, this is great, man. This is awesome.
I mean, I guess it serves the purpose of keeping you awake.
Yeah, like, what fills you with anger and rage. Yeah. It's hard to fall asleep when you're angry.
It is true. Just like, shut up. Shut the fuck up.
Well, that's cool, man.
That drive ended up being 5 hours because I had to stop. Well, we lost an hour on the way back. So I guess you could say it was 6. It was 5 hours of driving time because it was foggy as shit, and I had to stop a couple times just to, like, be like, I have to pull over and get out and, like, piss or something just to, like, stay.
Yeah, you have to do that, like, when those longer, you have to, like, just pull. It's even better when it's cold out. Get out, shock your body with the cold.
Yeah.
Fucking, you know, walk around, go take a piss, buy more coffee or something at the gas station, just, like, move around.
Yeah.
Because you're just sitting in that position for hour after hour and, like, the...
Yeah.
Then, of course, you know...
You get the white line fever and start, like, zoning out.
Yeah. And you know, and, you know, there's always, you know, some people that want the van to be 90 degrees. You know, which is like, oh, this is perfect conditions for me to be driving overnight. Yeah. You should make it as nice warm as my mother's womb was.
Yeah.
Like... Oh, this is perfect.
I'm just curled up here in this van.
And just like the low rumble of the highway. It's perfect. Well,
no other cars in sight. Just blackness.
Just like my soul. Well, I did a road show. I went to Iowa on Saturday with my friend Scott Long. He took me along to do comedy, and we had a good time. We were in Keokuk, Iowa, actually, home of Will Whitmore, our good friend.
Oh, is he from?
He's from just outside of there. That's the closest town. And the aforementioned Myron and Laura came out, and we had a good time.
Did but, Will come, or is he?
Will did not come. He was unable to attend. So
he texted back. Chopping wood or something like that.
He was chopping wood. Yes.
Doing something out in the farm.
Yeah. Well, his cabin has plumbing now, so that's a big thing.
He's stepping up.
Yeah. Well, his lady Chloe, that was her ultimatum. She wouldn't move in with him until he put plumbing in, because she was fine with using the outhouse on visits. But she's like, if I'm going to live there, we're going to have some plumbing.
He's now like a first world person.
He's like, exactly. Yeah. But no, I did go up and work for the Super Bowl, which was in Indianapolis.
I forgot about that.
I did production for a company who was hired by DirecTV to basically direct and produce the DirecTV Celebrity Beach Bowl.
Oh yeah,
which is a fake football game
on sand.
On sand, played by. Mostly
D-list celebrities.
You got a few A-listers, like Snoop Dogg was there, Neil Patrick Harris was there.
Is Snoop really an A-lister?
I think Snoop is always going to be an A-lister, don't you think? Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I guess he's super famous.
He's super fucking
famous. But he's also, he's just like one of those guys who will appear at anything.
That's true.
Like, and I feel like an A-lister, like, is selective.
That's a good point.
Like, Snoop is just like, oh, you got 10 grand? Yeah, I'll do that. I think that knocks him down to, like, a B-list.
Okay, maybe it's B-list. What about Neil Patrick Harris?
Neil Patrick Harris is, I guess his sitcom's huge.
Yeah.
But.
And he's also a cult hero on top of having the mass appeal.
Cult hero.
Yeah.
I guess he's probably like a B+, A-. I think he's on the cusp.
I like how you're ranking the celebrities.
Yeah, I think he's on the cusp. To me, like an A-list celebrity, they're like top billing in a film.
Right. Okay. I gotcha. Like, okay.
I don't know that Neil Patrick Harris can be like the lead actor in a movie.
Unless it's like a direct to Netflix web series.
Yeah, something like that.
No, okay. Well, that's good. I'm trying to think of, well, you know, there's also, it has retired NFL greats. Like Warren Moon played, and Joe Montana played. I mean, you know, like,
Joe Montana, that's big.
Yeah, so he's an A-lister to you. Despite the fact that he hasn't done shit for 30 years.
Well, he's an A-list athlete.
Athlete, yes.
Athletes
exactly.
And celebrities. Okay.
It's a different thing. It's a different thing. But yeah, I'm trying to think. Oh, Kate Upton was there.
Oh, she's like A-list model.
Yeah, and I stood right next to her, right after I moved a bunch of heavy shit, and I was sweating, and she just looked over at me, and she just kind of like, oh, hi. And I'm like, sorry.
Yep.
Sorry.
Hey, 19-year-old swimsuit cover
it's
model.
Like, I was like, I wanted to be like, oh, this isn't about you. I moved all that heavy shit over there. Okay, never mind.
No, this erection, I didn't know.
I moved it with my boner.
Was she good looking in real life?
She's very cute. You know, they all wear
She's very young. She's a child.
Okay.
No, I like...
Now you're making me feel weird about my boner. Come on, dude.
She's 19. I saw that about her recently. All right.
Well, no, she's very cute. But they're all wearing, like, these kind of jerseys. And, like, they're in uniform, basically, to play the game. So it's not like she was in a tiny...
Full pads.
Yes. It was full contact. David Arquette broke his spine.
Good.
Every dude just continually
tried to tackle Kate Upton. No matter, like, just...
What's David Arquette's grade on your grading scale?
I think when he was married to Courtney Cox, I think he had like a C+.
Okay,
but without that tie anymore, I think he's like a D.
All right,
I think he's a D-lister.
I'm trying to think of who else. There were like people from like The Vampire Diaries, and there were like minor characters from True Blood, but I had no idea who any of these fucking people were. And the first
Anna Paquin was not.
Anna Paquin. Yeah. And it was not Skarsgård or whatever his name is.
It was like the guy who played Frank Sabatka in the second season of The Wire, like chubby bald guy.
No, I exactly know who it is. It was a guy on True Blood. He plays an officer. He plays a police officer or something.
I've never watched. So the he's show.
Like, I haven't either. Well, here's why I know this.
Maybe it's the same guy that I'm thinking of who was on The Wire. Though.
I don't think so. But my very first day, I get a call on Monday night. I got referred by Will Pepple, who got a call from somebody that he knew back when he used to do the X Games.
Yeah.
And they were like, they need local production. I know you're not local to Indiana, but we know you're crazy. Will Pepple, you want to just go do it? Yeah. And he was booked already because Will's out with Mike Doty right now. And
is it Doughty or Doty?
It's Doty.
Doty?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so we're learning things all the time here on the show. It's Mike Doty, and that's who Will's out with right now. But so Will calls me. He's like, hey, I'm going to recommend you for this if you want to do it. And I was like, sure. I don't have any, you know,
whatever.
I don't have any gigs on anything. And so then I get a call like
make a few hundred bucks.
15 minutes later. Yeah. Well, I made quite a bit of money actually, because I got like 6 days of production work out of it. And not that they paid a lot, but it's like 6 days of, you know, cash.
Yeah, exactly.
So I get a call and they're just like real quick, like super quick interview. And they're like, okay, we'll be starting tomorrow. It's like, okay, cool. First day, all I do is I sit in our office, and what they had done is they had built this airplane sized hangar sort of like tent.
Yeah.
And it DirecTV, they spent $3.5 million on this thing.
Jesus.
And they're going to use it. It's completely, they can take it, bow back down, store it, move it around the country, reassemble it, this kind of stuff like this. But it's a fucking stadium. It is a portable stadium.
It's ridiculous.
It holds like probably, because like most of it is VIP sort of seating, so you don't get the maximum seating in that you could.
Yeah.
But it's like, it holds 1,000 fans just in the fan area, and then you probably get another 1,000 people in the VIP seating area easily. And then when you let people in onto the field area to see a concert, which they use a couple other times through the week, after the Beach Bowl for concerts, you could probably put about 5,000 people in this thing. And so the $3.5 million DirecTV has spent on this thing, they built it and everything. I get to kind of, like, which is always how it always goes with me. Like, and anytime I've ever done this sort of thing or been like at a bigger festival or anything, I just tend to hang out with the crew people. Like, they're the guys that lift shit or the guys that I can kind of get along with better.
Yeah, well, they're the most fun.
They're the most fun, like, and they're also, you get in with them, then you can actually get the things that you need when you need something. You know.
Yeah.
But these guys had been on site for a month. It took them a month to construct it.
Jesus.
It's this fucking huge thing, dude. It's this huge fucking thing.
I didn't go anywhere near Indianapolis for the Super Bowl. I'm kind of sad I didn't, because I heard it was kind
of
cool.
It was actually kind of cool. But they built it basically on the field of Victory Field.
Okay.
Where the Indians play. And
Was this the same complex where the Patriots had their like post party with the video of the Patriots players dancing poorly?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I got asked to work that event too. And I said, on moral obligations, I cannot work the Patriots party. And they were like, what do you mean? I was like, I cannot trust myself not to stab Belichick or Brady if I'm like in the building with an all access pass.
Oh, especially if they won.
Oh, yeah.
If they had won the game and you had to watch them fucking party. Celebrate.
The only upside I wanted to stay is because they had Earth, Wind & Fire play at their party. And I was like,
that's
pretty fucking awesome. But they had another event after the Beach Bowl too, which was a DirecTV just party, schmoozing and stuff like that. And here's what's awesome is they had to still use all of our video kind of stuff set up that the company I was working for had set up. They were just plugging into it and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we all got passes for the Katy Perry. Katy Perry played their party.
Yeah.
And but we weren't really working it, and they were just like, dress nice and just blend in. And, but you'll have your pass on you in case anybody's like, hey, who are you? Be like, oh, no, I'm working. Yeah. Everybody asks you, like, it's like we're all on the video crew.
That's awesome.
Like, that was the thing. It's like everybody's video crew, okay? So you're just there for tech support or whatever, you know. So, which I turned that down too because it means I would have worked a 20-hour day.
Yeah.
Like, if I would
have. It might have been worth it to see that kind of ridiculous spectacle, though.
Yeah. Well, I will say this. I did see Katy Perry's soundcheck before I left. And I will say this. She can really fucking sing. I was surprised. Like, no tricks, nothing. Like, when she was just doing, like, a cold sort of mic check and she was singing a cappella, it's like, holy fuck, she can sing.
I would think that she's one of the pop stars who can't sing.
No, I was surprised. I was so surprised by it. So, but anyway. The first day, though, that I was there, what they did is all the box suites for Indian Stadium turned into offices for all these different production companies. And there were, like, probably, like, 12 or 15 different production companies that were working on this thing for DirecTV.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a ton of, like, all these different people. You had, like, the kind of the physical ground crew. They had their own office, like, their bosses did and all this kind of stuff. And so I just sat in one of those box suites all day, and I just researched the celebrities, quote unquote, and I had to come up with basically like trivia for like the MCs to kind of like throw out and when they're doing the playback plan and stuff. And I didn't want to get fired. I gave them three things, and the first two were legit, and the third one would be the most ridiculous fucking thing I could find about the person on the internet. And the one that I wrote and then I deleted it because I didn't want to get in trouble is. There's like an Entertainment Tonight reporter, female reporter, and she was playing in the game. And literally, the only thing I could find about her, besides the fact that she worked for Entertainment Tonight, is that she was married to Joe Francis from the Girls Gone Wild thing for like 6 months. And I was like, ha-ha, I'm putting that one in. And I was like, oh, no, that's like, that might be crossing the line, actually. I might turn that one back out.
Well, I mean, if that's the last day that you're working.
No, that was the first day. That's when I turned all that shit in.
Oh, okay.
And then it got reviewed by people and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah. But I was just like, oh, that's how do you like that? When you Google, someone Googles your name, that's all they can find. It's like, oh, you were married to the rapist.
You were married to, to one of the worst human beings on the planet.
Yeah, you know, good. It's great.
That guy's sleazier than I am.
Which is saying something.
Yeah.
It's like you with a video camera. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. All I need is a video camera, and I'm the next Joe Francis.
There you go.
Except for the rape.
Except for the rape part. You've already got that covered.
Yeah, I don't like the rape.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Ah, yeah, everybody. Yay.
I don't
anti-rape.
I disapprove of rape. Yay.
All right, man. Get you your Nobel Peace Prize.
Hey, Obama got one. Come on, what's up?
That's true.
He didn't do shit for it.
He gave us hope.
He gave us hope and then dashed it.
All right, let's not get into politics.
Yeah, no.
So I was at that event, and it was pretty ridiculous, and I just want to talk, I haven't talked about this part at all. I kind of, I live tweeted during, because actually during the game, when the actual game was going on, I didn't really have shit to do. It was like pre-game and post-game, I had a bunch of stuff.
We were at a party together.
What?
Didn't you come to...
No. I'm talking about the celebrity game.
Oh, the celebrity game.
Beach Bowl game. And no, I didn't come to the Super Bowl party with you.
Oh.
Because I was so wrecked from working, like I got home that night, Saturday night, like at... One in the
Maybe
morning.
I guess I knew you were supposed to come. I was supposed and I just to come. Assumed that you were there.
Yeah, I was supposed to come, but I didn't make it. I just like stayed in my my PJs on the couch all day.
I was waste. I got back to Bloomington at 8 o'clock that morning.
Yeah.
From that drive, and then drank all day.
Yeah.
So by the time the Super Bowl happened, my brain was no longer.
So no wonder that you didn't know. I just stayed there and watched.
I just assumed that people were at a place that they weren't.
Excellent.
No, I talked to you there, right? Now you were talking to the cat.
Yeah. This is one thing that I haven't talked about with anybody about this. One of the fucking production companies was from L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and what they were running is outside of, in the concourse of Victory Field, which is a beautiful ballpark. They've got a big major kind of concourse area where they kind of, during their games, they'll have like sort of like food vendors and like games and stuff for little kids and stuff.
Sure.
Well, this was set up. To have, like, basically all these sort of tailgating games. They had, like, beer pong, but it was, like, with water or whatever. And they had, like, all these sort of, like, you know, basically every sort of, like, tailgating game you can think of. Like,
sure.
Cornhole and
cornhole,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so this company was basically brought in to run that. And they would hype it and they, like, built it up. And that part was open for, like, 2 hours before the actual Beach Bowl game happened. So they were had all these college kids, had all these people lined up in the rain to come in. And they'll come in and, you know, they partied and they got, like, free swag, you know, from DirecTV and all this stuff like that. So this, that whole section, just the outdoor fucking concourse thing, was run by this production company from fucking LA. And at first it was just like the it was just like the main guys from the office the first couple of days, and we just kind of were like, okay, there's some
LA dudes.
Very LA dudes. Like, yeah. They all have the stupid, like, Palestinian scarf. And you know, like, they're fucking very well groomed, you know, and everything. Yeah. And so, like, whatever. You know, it's fine. And then the day before, I guess the rest of their crew shows up. And their crew, and the great thing about the way it worked out is, like, there was one large, sort of big meeting room. If you had to have, like, a big meeting with a couple other production companies, or you had, like, your entire team, you had to, like, use this one space. Well, it wasn't even a room. It was really, like, a giant wide section of the hallway. So for everybody else, if you had to go somewhere, you had to walk basically through their meeting. You had to walk right past it. So they're having one of these meetings, and they have all their people there. And I'm just walking by, and I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, it's nothing but, like, girls that look like their life ambition is to be an American Apparel model.
Yeah.
And then more of these very, like, effeminate fucking, like, manicured dudes.
Yeah.
Right? And so...
So, it was L.A. and Indianapolis.
It was super L.A. But, like...
It's half of those girls will end up in porn.
Well, yes. Or did that weekend. Yeah. With Super Bowl stuff.
Sure.
But, no. But, so, I'm walking at the same time as this, this kind of, like, really awesome, like, no-nonsense, kicking-ass sort of female producer from another one of the production companies. She was sort of, like... one of the top people there.
Yeah.
So I'm walking with her. And this is like, you know, again, I was like, I might get fired for this sort of thing. But, and so I just walk by and I was just like, what the fuck is going on in there? And she just starts laughing. And I was like, is that their team? And she's like, yeah. I was like, who's going to lift shit? Like, who? And she just starts dying. She's like, yeah, I know. We've been talking about it all day. We're like, I was like, seriously? Like,
they have no hands.
They have to haul like these fucking like tailgate games around. And so I was like, who? None of them are going to lift that shit. Like, what the fuck? And she's like, yeah, I've already told all the maintenance guys to be busy. They would be completely unavailable. Like, oh, we can't help you. We're doing this thing over here. Like,
no, I'm union, man. I don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. No, but it was an interesting experience. Long days, but made some money. And everybody on my team was super cool. They were actually really, really rad. So
That would be a fun... That's like one of those weird fucking production experiences that like you get to do one time. When you work in like that, the industry of that, you know, you get to do these goofy fucking events like that.
Well, that's what this company did, and it's based out of LA, and they kind of have like the main guy has like his regulars that he likes to use a lot. Like two of the producers were from Colorado, like a video production guy that put together all the graphics and everything was from Colorado. They brought in this girl from New York that they knew that runs all the Red Bull. Like Red Bull has all these like kind of weird sporting events.
Red Bull's fucking crazy.
Yeah, but they have like
they spend money on insane shit.
Well, here's the thing is, and I knew
like
this
a band that I toured with once that was on Red Bull Records.
Nice.
The tour support we got was stupid.
That's awesome. Yeah. What was the greatest? What was like? It was just money. Like the crazy amount of money that they got.
They bought a like decked out Sprinter for their bands and to tour in, which was like, I mean, it had like the fucking video screens and like all this like electron, like
which
it
band
had
this, was this? Which band was
Black
it?
Gold.
Black Gold. Okay. Yeah.
They had like the GPS unit was like, it was basically like a fucking laptop computer, basically like touchscreen that like controlled like everything in the fucking van in the Sprinter.
That's crazy.
And yeah, they just like, oh yeah, we'll buy this. like go on tour, band. Here's this fucking, you know, $100,000 vehicle.
Don't flip it.
don't put regular gas in it. You know, like, that band was making $0 on that tour. Yeah, that was a Rooney tour.
That's how it usually works in those scenarios, you know.
They were opening, they made $0 a night. Everything was tour support. And the band only had two guys in it, and they had two guys who were getting paid $1,500 a week to play in the band.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good deal if you can get it.
Yeah. I was getting paid fucking... it wasn't even like some, you know, at the end of the tour, here you go. They were direct depositing the money into my account every week. Like a job.
Yeah. It was a job. Yeah.
It was like, thanks, Red Bull.
Yeah. this girl that they brought in, she produces, like, they do all these really weird sports things. Like, they do, like, I guess they do like street soccer events, and they do like the little micro racing airplanes and all that shit. They do all this stuff, and she does a lot of their sports stuff. But they brought her in from New York, and like she was there one day and noticed that like the catering, like we had group catering for all the production people, didn't have Red Bull, and she was like, "Oh, I gotta have my Red Bull." She made a call. And like six cases showed up, and we're just like in our like little tiny office. She's like, "Here's some Red Bull, everybody." And we're like, "Okay." And
they just give it away.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, how does Red Bull make any money? I don't understand what they do.
She said that she basically uses it like currency because she can get cases of it whenever she wants.
And she's like, "Here's a case of Red Bull. Give me what I want.
Exactly. Give me that dress." Or I don't know. Been pretty crazy, but yeah, it was an interesting experience. I don't really particularly want to do it again, but it was.
I would like to do something like that. Yeah.
Well, you just gotta wait for the world's largest sporting spectacle.
It'll be back in Indianapolis.
That is a World Cup. That is not the World Cup, but
apparently Indianapolis did very well, and like they're talking about putting it in the rotation for the Super Bowl.
They should. They did a kick-ass job of it. The village was great, and you would do great because I will say that some of the other production assistants that they brought in like for the last couple of days when we really had to do a lot of like physical shit. Kind of sucked balls. They were like young kids from Indy.
Yeah.
One of them was amazing. Like he was just hired to be a PA, but they were having all these video issues, and he knew video stuff. Like that's kind of what he did. And so they basically
he got upjumped
in a big way.
Yeah.
But the other ones I got were just like you know your standard. Like I just realized the difference between production for that sort of thing and production for like doing tour stuff because I was like oh this has to be done boom I'll just do it.
Yeah.
Like, everybody else is like, oh, this has to be done. Okay, I'm going to wait around until I can get, like, a maintenance guy to come help me move this. Or
tell
him to go get a cart. No, you just
pick
it up and move it.
Yeah.
Or just do it.
Yeah, when you're on tour, that's what you do. You
exactly.
just have to do things now.
But they were just much more on this idea of, like, the large TV show or movie production.
They probably employed, like, twice as many people as they really need. If they actually had people who could do things and get shit done, they'd pay half as many people.
Well, the thing that is driving me crazy is when we were doing the rehearsals for this thing, because it was broadcast live on DirecTV, had a channel, like Audience Network or whatever. So we're doing the rehearsals, but then, the video team would have an issue. The rest of us just stood around for 5 hours. And I kept saying, is there something else we should be going to do? Nope, just stay here because when they get a fix, we're going to run rehearsal again. Well, it's not like I'm leaving the site. I'm just like, can I go up to the office and work on some shit? Or something? Like, which is like, that's so opposite of when you're tour world.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Where you have so much bullshit to do at all times that you just have to like, oh, there's 5 minutes now? Okay, I got to go do this thing.
Exactly, yeah. So, and by this thing, I mean masturbate.
Yes, well, that's part of the things that you have to do.
Things it's on the list.
Yeah. Otherwise, you would go crazy and your head would explode.
Exactly.
Tour masturbation's important.
It is. Do you have any great tour masturbation stories?
I think my best jerk off on tour, as far as location and timing, was in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny that I can just pull this memory right out, you know.
Yeah.
At this club called the Cedar, they had like a big backstage area, like big dressing room, because I think the place did like theater productions too, and so they had like multiple rooms with like the mirrors and the fucking you know whatever, and I ended up somehow alone in the building, like. The band was all at the hotel.
Or so you thought.
The band was all at the hotel, like, 2 blocks away.
Yeah.
And I had come... We had, like, I had driven...
Wait, don't rush. Get to that part later.
Yeah. I came as fast as possible.
Just, like, the idea of being alone on tour, you're like, bam!
Yeah.
Oh, my God, this is great.
Yeah, I had my laptop with me, you know, I had my bag. I was
strong
like everything.
Wi-Fi signal.
Yeah, the fucking... The dude I had met there to, like, whatever, he left, and I was just in there alone, and the band was supposed to be there in, like, 20 or 30 minutes, and I was like, man, how can I know how I can spend 20 minutes, you know, like, fucking laptop open,
You have such a crystal memory of this, so, like, what was the porn, or was it even porn that you jerked off to? What did you jerk off to?
It was porn, I don't remember, I jerk off to porn so much I can't fucking narrow it down.
It wasn't like a specific, like, it was like, oh, this is a classic clip.
I have no idea what
it was.
I do know that I finished and was able to clean everything up and be done with it, like, a minute before the band walked in. It was just like I was closing the laptop and putting it back in the bag as like everyone like walked in the back door, and I was just like, "Ooh, yeah, good timing."
All right, excellent.
That was my, yeah, there's my best tour jerking off time. Like, it's way better than the, like, you know, shower jerk.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, I hope nobody knows I'm doing this in here.
Yeah. Like, and then, like, you're like, and I'm the first one to shower.
Exactly.
Which is why you got to be the first one to shower. Oh, yeah. When you're because you got to realize everyone else is doing the exact same thing you are.
Yeah, everyone does it. So when you're the last one, you have to, like, give the shower the, like, the inspection to make sure there's nothing left. That it all got, that it all went down the drain.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder, hotels must have so much, such, like, plumbing problems with, like.
All the jizz?
Fucking backed up semen in the fucking plumb. Pipes.
Anybody out there has the internet to look up that fact for us about whether or not semen actually does back up your plumbing. I don't know. Do you have a plumbing problem at your house?
I mean, it's not, I don't jerk off in the shower at my house.
Oh, okay.
I don't need to do that
in the,
there.
In
then.
The toilet?
No.
I mean,
no,
you shoot it into the toilet. In the
Kleenex.
Sink, in
you
the
know?
Sink. Just into a Kleenex.
Well, I'm like.
Just on the couch when your parents are gone.
In front of my computer.
In front of your computer. Okay.
Right. I have to have porn most
of
the time.
Yeah. Okay. You don't have the power of imagination.
I do. I mean, on tour, especially because you're in the showers. Yeah. You got to think about it.
Yeah. When will they invent a waterproof laptop?
The like porn jerk after tour when you've only had like when you've only had your brain to like make up stuff for like 6 weeks is fucking awesome.
Oh, and how long does that last until it's just back to, like, the I'm dead inside jerk?
The next day. Okay. You just get the one.
You get the one. All right.
All right. We just kicked this up a notch right at the end when everybody is probably tuned out.
Yeah, no, it was a bad episode there for a while.
I was rambling about some shit.
We're out of practice. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, we didn't pre-game with, like, any ideas. It was just like, nope, it was whatever.
Yep, we're awful at this. We're really awful at this. Well, you've been listening to
episode... We should have started with the jerking off stuff.
We should have. We should always start with the jerking off stuff to get a clearer head.
Yeah.
All right, so this is episode 27. Mm-hmm. I have Nick and Matt's Infinite Shit List. I'm Matt.
I'm Nick. Nickandmatt@gmail.com.
That's right, nickandmatt@gmail.com. And, yeah, I don't
know. We didn't even talk about the Schlitz.
Well, it's Schlitz. Everybody knows about it. It's beer. It's good. You made the right call, son.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, any final words for the people?
Fuck off.